We're in our Lenten series, not the Acts series, John 14. All right. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. John has well established in his gospel the prominence of truth in who Jesus is, in what he came to do, and how his followers must live. I selected these beloved words of Jesus to the disciples in John 14 to open our time together in the Word this morning, because it is there that in response to Thomas' most famous question, how can we know the way? Jesus replies, I am the way and the truth and the life. But even earlier in the book, in the Gospel of John, at the well of Samaria, the woman is astounded by Jesus and his ability and his willingness to tell her all that she ever did. And it was on the basis of her testimony and her own personal encounter with Jesus that many Samaritans in the town believed. John writes, because of his word. Even in the very next chapter from our passage today, and we'll be back in chapter 17 of John, Jesus' high priestly prayer, Jesus, having spoken truth before the Sanhedrin, now this is the next chapter, 18, is struck. I mean, hit in the face, as we later saw also in Paul, to Mark's point, in the book of Acts. And as Paul later was, Jesus sent before the high priest, Annas, Caiaphas, and finally to gain permission to kill him, to Pilate, the Roman governor, who asks, so you are a king? And Jesus answered there, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? That's no insignificant question in our day as relativity has rendered each person's individual pursuit of happiness their own truth. And anyone who might utter, let alone believe, something other than what brings pleasure to someone is uttering a falsehood worthy of cancellation. Nathan wonderfully led us through the second of six marks of the church that John prays for us on our behalf last Sunday, and both the second and the third one we're going to look at today, come to us in verse 17 of chapter 17 of John's Gospel, words that you've already heard, but we focus upon again this morning. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' prayer request for his disciples, including our sanctification, he asks the Father to point them to the truth of the word. You see that there. As often as we hear sanctify, holy, and other words from that same root here in this portion of Jesus' prayer, in verse 17, truth is mentioned twice. First, we are to be sanctified in the truth. And then by the affirmation of the Father's word is truth. So let's explore this more deeply as we settle in with God's word this morning. Pray with me. Almighty gracious Father, the true understanding of your holy word helps us to grow into the fullness of the salvation you have accomplished for us in Christ. Grant to all of us that our hearts, being freed from worldly thoughts and worldly pursuits, may hear and grasp your holy word, your holy word, with all diligence and with faith, that we may rightly understand your gracious will for our lives, that we may love it and live by it with all eagerness, to your praise and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you heard the last two Sunday sermons, you've likely picked up that the first three of these marks, joy and holiness and now truth, these first three marks of the church that Jesus prays for us here in John chapter 17 are closely in alignment with one another. They work together. And it's very obvious in verse 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Now let's step back for a moment and consider what this meant for Jesus' closest disciples, because it applied to them in a unique way. They, after all, knew Jesus. They lived with him. They worked with him. They heard him teach firsthand. They had access to him hour after hour as kind of a rolling commentary of all that he said and did over their 3 years together. The disciples of Jesus knew the word of truth incarnate. They knew the truth in the flesh. And after Pentecost, which we heard in Acts 2, not too many months ago, but here in John 17, they have not yet experienced for themselves the Holy Spirit as his instruments to their understanding the truth, to preaching and teaching the truth, and several of them writing God's truth for us. So their experience with Jesus had special application for them, but even for us today. What Jesus is affirming here in this prayer on our behalf is that to be holy, to be set apart as Christians, comes to us through the power of God's word. That's where the truth is. Nathan took us through into verse 19 as Jesus emphasized his request for our sanctification there. But it is also there that he points to the truth of himself when he said that they, meaning his disciples and us, may be sanctified in truth. Look at the progression from verse 17 to 19. Sanctify them in your truth. In the truth. Your word is truth. I consecrate myself that they may be sanctified in truth. In other words, Jesus is saying in his prayer for us that he is the content of the word's truth, the Bible's truth. He is the actual high priest, as we saw last week, who not only makes a sacrifice on our behalf, but does so by the sacrificing of himself for our salvation. Listen to this. In order for us to be sanctified, holy in God's eyes, we need to be set free by the truth that is Jesus Christ. And the truth that is Jesus Christ is only revealed in the truth of God's word. That's where we get it, and nowhere else. Jesus is praying here that we receive the truth of himself. And Peter comes to understand this in his first sermon back in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I say back Not because it happened already in the chronology of our biblical narrative for today, but because we were there in Acts 2 a year ago, January, at the beginning of our sermon series through Acts. So there, Paul appeals to the Scriptures, to the Old Testament, and points to Christ. Even Paul in his letters refers to his own preaching as preaching the cross. The cross of what? The cross of Jesus Christ. So not only does Jesus pray for our sanctification in the truth and point us to himself, the source of that truth, but in Acts and all the rest of the New Testament, we see Jesus' prayer answered for them as it is now revealing truth to us. Jesus is not only the sanctified one, but he prays that his sanctification would also be ours through the truth of his word. Now, to know that Jesus prayed for us at all, I think is pretty spectacular. But what are the practical elements of this prayer? How does this play out in our lives? What difference does it make for us as professing believers? Remember that Jesus began this portion of his prayer saying, in verse 14, I have given them your word. He's praying to the Father, and then here in verse 17, he declared, your word is truth. What this means simply for us is that we, the church, have received God's word of truth from Jesus Christ. For the original disciples, they experienced that in a more personal and intimate way with Jesus, but we receive it through the prophets. We receive it through the apostles who recorded it for us. What does the Westminster Larger Catechism say in question number 3? What is the word of God? The answer, the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only rule of faith and obedience. The Word of God is the only rule of faith and obedience. What sets us apart is that we stand firm in the truth demonstrated to us and prayed for us by Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us in the written word, the Bible. Now, for all of that theological unpacking, which we love, the practical reality of this is simple. Christians are not those who embrace everything new that comes down the pike, especially from the intellectuals of the world, but who stand firm in what has been revealed by God in and through his word, which is the truth. Do you want to avoid being swept away by the whims of the world? Brother, sister, you do. It seems to me that I can hardly keep up with all of the things that are coming to us right now. You either are woke or you are canceled. But for everyday people who don't manage to make the news, the bottom line is this: God's word is truth. That's where we go. And as ones who have been called to receive the truth that is Jesus Christ, our calling is now to avoid the corrupting influence of the world around us and be a distinct people based upon that truth, the Scriptures, the word. That's where we go to understand truth and how to live. Now, that sounds simple enough, and surely nobody here is going to disagree, right? But even non-believers teach their children not to lie, but tell the truth. And yet in the church universal, we have historically stumbled on the truth. We've covered it up. We've covered up falsehood, I should say. In some cases as well, corruption, church scandals, When we do this corporately or even individually in our own lives, we're denying the truth. And not only that, denying the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. But being in Christ, being in the one who fulfilled the law that we as sinful creatures cannot maintain on our own, we have the burden of our sin lifted from us in Christ. It's lifted from us. The truth will set us free. We do not need to hide the truth. The truth is safe. There's nothing we need to fear in following the truth. Isn't that what we say to our children? Just tell me the truth. Honesty is the best policy. If you were to ask me what I most remember about my dad's parenting, I would point to his hatred for lying, which is the practical, or in the opposite form would be, he demanded the truth. And that truth for us and for the world as we offer it to them in the gospel of Jesus Christ is found exclusively in the Word, in the Scriptures. We as believers submit to the authority of God's Word because the implications of exchanging it for the relative truth of the world is devastating to us and devastating to the world. Because once the authority of God's Word is compromised, then the dam just breaks. And the relativism and the secularism and the pursuit of pleasure by any and all means comes crashing in. What makes us different is not our desire to assimilate into the culture and just be nicer than the worldly people around us, but our uncompromising commitment to God's Word as good and true, so that not only do we know the Bible, but we practice it. We know it, we study it, we love it, we practice it. David said in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." This is where we go, right here. 100 chapters later, the psalmist declares the same psalm that he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." He says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." As Christ prayed for our sanctification in the truth, so should our daily prayer be. So should our daily walk be. Because the commitment to living in obedience to truth, that is the revealed Word of God in Jesus Christ, is a saving faith that identifies us as Christians. This is what sets us apart. Not only does the Bible teach and Jesus pray for our holiness, we find that God's Word, the truth, creates holiness in His people. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Folks, there is no other way to holiness than through the knowledge and the study and the practice of God's truth from the Scriptures. You cannot become holy just by attending church. You cannot become holy by praying. Or even sending your kid to Christian school. That won't do it. You have to study, know, love, and practice the truth that is the Word of God. God illustrated this point, I think, through Ezekiel. Ezekiel is like the book that most intimidates me in the whole Bible. I'm going to give us a start on Isaiah here later this year. But Ezekiel, I'm not old enough. I haven't. Nathan, you can do Ezekiel. I'll be behind you all the way. If you know anything about Ezekiel, you know that he preached the word of truth to a valley full of the dry bones of dead people. Chapter 37, verse 4. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then Ezekiel says in verse 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Why does the church in America have little standing today? Why is it that all the nation sees us as useful for is as a voting bloc? Why is it that Jesus prayed for our sanctification through the word that is the truth? That we might be a great army of witnesses of that truth. Jesus Christ, that through us the truth would go forth in both word and practice, pointing others to the truth that those God is calling to himself might hear it, might be saved, and be transformed. Very soon, we're going to be transitioning back to normalcy. Yay! I don't know when yet. Not trying to dampen your excitement. And that means that the door to proper discipleship, I said that this morning too, not proper discipleship, that better corporate discipleship, doing it together, studying the Bible together, might be open to us, and I'm asking you to commit to be involved. A lot of things got set aside in COVID-19. Many of them were good, and they need to stay set aside, but some of them we need to bring back. So come to Sunday school when it is offered. Commit to a small group, a house kirk, as they reform. It's gonna happen. And by all means, prayerfully consider who in your life the Lord may be calling you to bring with you. Someone for whom Jesus was also praying to be sanctified in the truth. COVID-19 has been a blessed time for us to kind of reset and recommit to those things that are most central. And Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that central to our sanctification and witness to the world, as we will see next week, is the truth. But we need not only study God's word, but we need to live it out. We can't become captivated by the flesh, by the sin that the world is pursuing, but by the beauty of the holiness that is found in a people who are captivated by the power of God's word. This is what Paul encouraged Timothy to do in the face of unbelief and sin in the church. Preach the word in season and out. For all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Is it your desire to be holy? Brother and sister, it should be your desire to be holy. I hope it is, because this was Jesus' prayer for you. And if so, your need and the need of those around you is that we together in this Christian generation devote ourselves to the study of God's Word so that He will work holiness into our lives, that we might experience more and more of His life and shine more brightly in the light of Jesus Christ to the world around us, a dark world that desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel, the truth. Let's pray. Lord God, every honest one of us here, myself included, knows that we have compromised your truth many times for the sake of momentary pleasure, desires of our heart that may not be wrong in and of themselves, but have taken the place where only you should be, that we might not be worshiping the things of the world or even the truth of the world, but worshiping you and your truth. And so we see, Lord God, that to become holy, to be set apart, not only for your Son, but as a witness to the world around us, we need to be in your word, for your word is truth. Sanctify in us in your truth. We pray, Lord God, that in these months of change and different routines and patterns, that as we return to normalcy in the weeks and months to come, that we may fill our time with things that are good and right, that come from your word, the truth, that we might be sanctified and better equipped to shine the light of Jesus Christ and his gospel to the world around us. We pray this in his glorious name. Amen. Amen.
People of God, from wherever you are, let us rise in heart or in body as we respond to God's word by singing Wonderful Words of Life.
Receive This benediction comes to us from the sense of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. May the God who did not spare his own son, but sent him to gladly bear our burden on the cross, remind you always of your calling and election, though you know them and are firmly established in the truth, until you arrive to a full measure of glory. Amen. Go in peace.